the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. Wake up. It's David Dawson along with Damian Collado. Gabby Smith is in Bay St. Louis. And good morning,
Damian.
Damian.
Yeah.
Hey,
good
Damian.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fine. We've been stomping out little fires around here.
Yeah,
but we'll get them done.
Today's Mama Mary's birthday.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. That you're absolutely right. And I also want to wish my son and daughter-in-law a happy 16th wedding anniversary because they got married.
It was
Mary's birthday. So why don't we begin with prayer?
Okay.
And
happy birthday, Mama Mary.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
That's quite the hymn you got going there.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Mother, your birth gave great joy to all the world because it signaled the coming of Jesus Christ, who would save the whole world by his life, death, and resurrection. Pray for me today that the feast of your birth may give great joy to my soul, that I may be exceedingly patient with my family and loved ones. Our Lady of this feast of your birth, please pray for stronger and holier marriages. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. We got a chock-a-block show this weekend where we are... on this Friday, at the beginning of the weekend, we have events. Damon's going to be talking about events. Then we're going to have Jordan and Lisa Tabor are going to be talking about their foundation, Rain Will Bring Flowers Foundation. They're having a walk fundraiser for suicide prevention. Very special couple and a very, very important event. And then Dr. Daniel Kluber, professor at Franciscan University, talks about the Purposeful Lab podcast discussion, why every Catholic and beyond should enter the lab, in quotes, to immerse in foundational Catholic issues related to the emergence and evolution of the cosmos, life, and consciousness.
Yeah, that'll make me want to listen.
Whoa. Well,
I'm doing the interview. Trust me, I'm going to be thinking like you, and he better be ready for us.
I'm thinking my brain just blew a fuse.
What does all that mean? Come on. But we'll find out.
There you go. And then Nicole Jones. We know Nicole. She's digital media manager and secretariat for communications in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. She's going to update us on all the diocese news and things going on because got her hand full over there. She's doing a whole lot, Damian.
Well, good. Her and Father Chris Decker are doing a lot together.
Oh, yes.
And weather-wise, pretty decent day today is expected. High 96, only a 15% chance of rain, though wouldn't be bad if it fell on us. Winds out of the north-northwest at 5 to 10, and that's kind of keeping things somewhat steady and cooler than normal. Today, I should say tomorrow, 93 is going to be the high. The same holds true for Sunday with a 20% chance of rain tomorrow. No rain in the forecast come Sunday. And then come Monday, it'll be all right. Yeah,
yeah,
come Monday, I'll be holding you tight, says Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, okay.
And he's talking about the weather. Stick to the copy.
I'm with you.
Expect the same conditions as Sunday on Monday. Temperatures in and around the area. Covington at 72, Bay St. Louis at 73, Home of Thibodeau, 74, Baton Rouge, 75. Not making this stuff up. And New Orleans, though, it's the warm spot, 79 degrees in the Crescent City. It's 5 minutes after the hour, and events are coming up as well as our gospel reading and reflection, so stick around. It's Friday morning on Wake Up.
Thank you. On this feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, today's Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 1. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
Matthew opens his Gospel with Jesus' genealogy, which is purposely constructed in three groups of 14, which happens to be the numerical value of the letters that make up David's name in Hebrew. In this way, he emphasized that Jesus is the promised son of David, the Messiah. The first group of ancestors goes from Abraham to David. The second group of forefathers covers the period from David to the Babylonian exile in 586 BC. The final group of 14 goes from the exile to Jesus. In regard to Jesus' birth, St. Matthew affirms that Mary is the mother of God when he identifies Jesus as Emmanuel, that is, God with us. Now, some claim that we should only call Mary the mother of Jesus, not the mother of God. Please, women give birth to persons. In regard to the Blessed Mother, the second person of the Blessed Trinity assumed a human nature in her womb. Therefore, in giving birth to the Son of God in human form, Mary did indeed become the Mother of God. But this does not imply that Mary contributed to or is above Jesus' divinity. The logic is inescapable. Statement 1, Mary is the mother of Jesus. Statement 2, Jesus is God. Conclusion, hello, Mary is the mother of God. To logically deny the conclusion, one must deny either one or both of the first two statements. Claiming that Mary is only the mother of Jesus, but not the mother of God, leads to a denial of Jesus' divinity, or the error that the divine Son is one person and Jesus is a separate person. The grammatical structure of the Greek text captures Joseph's anguish over Mary's unexpected pregnancy. Joseph was plunged into the mystery of God's action. The apparent contradictions between whom he knew Mary to be, the physical evidence of the pregnancy, and his lack of understanding what God is doing. Then the light of divine revelation rescued Joseph. The Savior of the world was tabernacled in Mary's womb. All is indeed well, and Joseph will protect them. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy. And by the way, our own Jimmy Sagers will be presenting a three-part series on the Eucharist coming up September 11th, 18th, and 25th at 7 o'clock at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Covington. Nice. So it'd be something you'd like to attend. You'll learn a lot about the Eucharist and from Jimmy. Also, St. Peter's Catholic Church in Covington is hosting the kickoff to the Rock Junior CYO. That's tomorrow from 5 to 7 in St. Mary Hall. This event is for the 5th, 6th, and 7th graders, and you need to register prior to attending. And so that means you got to do that today or tomorrow morning. And to do that, go to ST, meaning Saint, so stpeterparish.com/rock.
Nice. And my computer just went down.
So, okay. I gotcha.
Go ahead.
I
What's
gotcha.
Next, Gabby?
Gabby will do it.
Thank you.
Retrovi is a lifeline for married couples, and it's a three-phase program that helps married couples who are struggling in their marriage beginning with a weekend retreat experience. The next retreat is slated for September 15th through the 17th and next Friday to Sunday in Baton Rouge. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information, and taking it over to St. Rita's Catholic Church in Uptown New Orleans on Lower Line. They are having a praise and worship service next Wednesday, September 13th at 6 p.m. There will be an opportunity to go to confession from 5 to 7 p.m. You can go to ccmedia.live for details.
All right, and Theology on Tap with Father Todd Lloyd will take place at St. Alphonsus Catholic Church in Greenwell Springs come Sunday, September 17th. There will be dinner at 5:30, and the talk begins at 6. The topic, Holy Communion, Food for the Journey. Nice. Child care will also be provided, and if you'd like more information, go to our website, or you can go to alphonsus.org.
And Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Church in Baton Rouge will be having their Mercy Classic Tennis and Pickleball Tournament. Pickleball, Damien.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Next week, September 15th through 17th at the Bocage Racquet Club. To sign up or sponsor the event, go to ccmedia.live, and we'll get you there from there.
Yes, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the United States right now, you guys.
Yeah. And to think, Drew Brees owns a team in pickleball, professional pickleball.
You ever played?
Does he?
I have yet to play.
I have yet to play myself.
Yeah.
I played in high school, but my husband plays and he loves it. So it's a big thing, you guys.
Okay, so it's not an old people thing.
Oh, no.
Well, it might have started out that way. I would say majority, but I think a lot of young people are in forming leagues now. So, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't played since high school, and I wasn't good.
Get out there, Gabby.
There we shall see.
Yeah,
get your pickleball.
That's why I stuck to swimming. So, Locus Benedictus Retreat Ministries will hold a Franciscan retreat next Saturday, September 16th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Retreat Center in Greenwood, Mississippi. The retreat will be presented by Father Kim Studwell and is open to the public, and there is no fee. You can go to ccmedia.live for details.
All right. Last but not least, don't forget, men, if you want to attend the Catholic Man Night, November 8th at the White Oak Gardens. I tell you what, here in Baton Rouge, it's going to be a fun event. We're putting it on. We also want to thank our sponsors, Olin Group and the Olivier Group, for making it all possible. Of course, Chef John Foles, he's going to have some great food.
Boy.
We'll have drink and we'll have fellowship. Mike Fulmer with Berryland Campers will be our speaker. And to sign up, just go to ccmedia.live, look for our logo for Catholic Man Night, click it, and you'll be there come November 8th.
You might want to hurry, too.
Yeah, we're doing fine. And don't go away. We've got Jordan and Lisa Tabor coming up on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 8th. Today we celebrate the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We know nothing of the circumstances of Mary's birth, but the Church holds the Blessed Mother in such high esteem that it has long celebrated her birth on this date, which comes exactly 9 months after the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. The so-called Gospel of James, dating from the 2nd century, reported that Anna and Joachim were the parents of Mary. Though the work has no historical value, it reflects the long-held devotion to Mary in both the Eastern and Western churches. We also remain unclear about where Mary was born. Ancient traditions suggest either Nazareth or Jerusalem. We can see every human birth as a call for new hope in the world. This is true in a magnificent way in Mary. If Jesus is the perfect expression of God's love, Mary is the foreshadowing of that love. If Jesus has brought the fullness of salvation, Mary is its dawning. Next to the birth of Jesus, Mary's birth offers the greatest possible happiness to the world. Each time we celebrate her birth, we can confidently hope for an increase of peace in our hearts and in the world at large. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you are turning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith, Damien Collado. And right now in studio, we have two very special guests. We have Jordan and Lisa Tabor, and they're going to be talking about their foundation, Rain Will Be Bring Flowers Foundation Walk fundraiser for suicide prevention. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. And well, I tell you, you guys are doing a wonderful, wonderful thing here, and you're doing it right on the heels of you're turning a crisis into something beautiful. Talk about that.
Well, we certainly had to find a way to transform our pain into purpose. Mm-hmm. We lost our son Owen on April 29th to suicide.
My goodness.
And you know, Owen was popular.
Mm-hmm.
Never bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Well-loved and supported in a great, stable family environment filled with love and faith.
Mm-hmm.
School came easily to him. He was a fantastic athlete. He was starting for St. Michael at tight end as a sophomore.
Right. Now, this is St. Michael, the Archangel High School in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And he also went to St. Jean Vianney in Baton Rouge, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. And so, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so, my message is that if our son, Owen, could take his own life, then all of our children are at risk.
Yes. Yes. I can tell you that my wife worked at St. Jean Vianney School here in Baton Rouge, and she said, "Oh yeah, I knew Owen, and Owen was a delightful young man."
Yes.
She said he had a lot of friends. He had a lot of fun with a lot of friends. They would prank each other. They would have a good time. He did, and she said that it really caught us all off guard. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine, you know, what you're going through. So what are you in this process of what y'all are going through and everything? Did y'all develop this foundation?
We did.
Okay.
Lisa and I started working on the foundation 2 days after Owen passed.
And, my goodness.
And
wow.
You know, statistically, suicide is so prevalent here in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Between the ages of 10 and 22, it's the second leading cause of death. And then just anecdotally, as we would speak with folks during the services and after,
mm-hmm.
so many people would come to us and share with us their struggles with mental health.
Yeah.
And everyone, almost 9 times out of 10, someone has a connection to suicide, whether it's a friend or loved one that attempted mm-hmm. or committed. And so, you know, when I was in school, it was MAD and it was DARE, and there was auditorium style education.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it feels like because of the stigma of suicide,
no
one's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it is discussed, it's typically reactionary.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So what we're trying to do is remove that stigma completely away from suicide,
mm-hmm.
so that these kids can understand that that everyone is struggling around them, and it's okay not to be okay, and it's okay to talk about it.
Right, right.
Yes,
but I mean,
absolutely.
Yes, Gabby, were you going to say something?
Well, you know, Jordan and I have spoken about this. You know, our family has experienced this as well with a family member we've lost through suicide. So we know your pain. We feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to talk about it and say, this is happening. We need to wake up and we need to realize that we need to educate not only ourselves, but our children, and say, come talk to me. If you're feeling like this, please be comfortable. We need to spread awareness about this. And that's exactly what you guys are doing. And I'm so glad that the diocese is putting on these little workshops to talk about suicide and just kind of like the signs and come together as a group, you know, and say that this is happening, that we cannot ignore this because it's painful and it's shocking mm-hmm. to everyone involved. So Jordan and Lisa, I want to give some time as well. I want to talk about this walk that you guys have coming up, because this is so important and this is in Owen's honor as well. Can you tell us about that?
This is like the, and see if I got this right, it's the AFSP, so that's the American
Suicide Prevention
Federation, or mm-hmm. American Federation,
it's
American
the,
Founded.
I'm sorry.
It's the Association for Suicide Prevention.
Oh, for Suicide Prevention. Okay, yes. Gotcha. I was just looking at the initials here. And then your cause is Rain Will Bring Flowers Foundation, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And so you've got a walk coming up.
Yeah, so we've partnered with AFSP. Mm-hmm. The walk is on October 7th at 10 a.m., located at Pennington Biomedical Center.
Okay.
And one of the first strategic initiatives of our foundation, in order to increase awareness and put a spotlight on our mission, mm-hmm. Our goal is to break the national walker record. So AFSP has these community walks all over the country, mm-hmm. and so that's what we're striving for, is to break that record, just to put a spotlight on the issue and our mission.
Okay. And to break the record, what is the record?
This is exclusive for Catholic Radio. Uh-huh. We actually have surpassed that.
Hey,
that record.
Did you?
Amazing.
Just did that this past week.
Wow.
But we still want to keep the gas pedal down.
Absolutely.
And continue driving. We certainly mm-hmm. need donations to help with the mission and deliver on our strategic initiative. So you can find registration and donation information at our Facebook and Instagram pages.
Okay.
If you just follow Rain Will Bring Flowers.
Rain Will mm-hmm. Bring Flowers.
Yes,
just
sir.
Just Google that, I guess. Baton Rouge, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
It does come up. And I do want to ask Lisa a question, because Lisa, you can walk in person, but you can also do it virtually if you're not able to make the walk. Can you kind of talk about that and why it's important to just come together as a community and bring awareness
Correct.
To this?
Correct. You know, I have family that lives in California and also in Mississippi, and they created this virtual walk during COVID. So it's really a great idea where some people who logistically can't get there, you know, just with location, mm-hmm. And they can sign up. I know mm-hmm. I have friends in South Carolina, in Mississippi, yeah. and in California that are getting together that day and doing their own walk wow. to celebrate Owen and to, you know, make awareness for suicide.
Mm-hmm. This is great. I'm at your website right now. It's very, very easy to navigate, and it's pretty darn easy to sign in too. For somebody who's not yes. good at doing that, yes. I appreciate how y'all did
yeah.
this. This is mm-hmm. this is fantastic, yeah. and it's awesome that you have surpassed your goal. Are you going
to
set another goal?
Or?
Well, right now we're trying to figure out what the fundraising record is. Mm-hmm. So now that we broke the participant record, our eyes are on what team has raised the most amount of money, and we want to break that record. So uh-huh. Donations are super important at this point to help us with that next initiative.
Okay.
And it wasn't a small feat. It, you know, the record prior to us beating it was 1,200. It was around 1,200. We are now at
1,270.
So we just thank everyone that has supported us and been behind us through this endeavor, through this, you know, uncharted territory.
Well, this is a wonderful mm-hmm. thing that y'all are starting. Can you tell us about the future plans and what you have an idea?
Sure. So we feel like the best way to educate is providing education to parents, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. students, mm-hmm. To administration, scholastic administration, and also coaches.
Right.
So we're in the process of forming partnerships. We have a great partnership with Guaranteed Media, who's okay. helping us get the word out.
Great.
We're partnering with LHSAA mm-hmm. To really target those coaches, because they spend so much time with our youth. Mm-hmm. And we're working with the diocese as well as East Baton Rouge schools to understand what the gaps are mm-hmm. Around suicide awareness and education. Mm-hmm. And once we understand those gaps, we'll go get the funding to help close those gaps.
Wow, that is wonderful, because this is This is not unique. This is a growing trend, it appears to be. And I know it's being approached in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and I'm sure in the Archdiocese and the Diocese of Houma too, because this seems to be nationwide. I don't, you know.
It's a terrible epidemic. It's a silent killer.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about it.
Yes.
We need to get it out in the open, and so that just like folks struggle with physical pain, there's no shame in getting a cast on your arm.
Right.
We need that same approach to mental health.
Right, right. For Absolutely. Somebody to be able to yes, go
we ahead, Lisa. Had no idea how prevalent it was until we did lose Owen.
Okay.
We just want Owen to save lives, you know.
There
we
you
want
go.
Owen to be an example and to save lives and to know those kids are not alone, and that they can talk, and that they're all feeling similar, anxious, depressed, and that there's people out there, you know, whether it's their peers or their parents.
Let me do this, and I hate to interrupt you.
Oh, that's fine.
The music's playing. We're at the bottom of the hour. I tell you what, we're going to send folks to ccmedia.live on our site, and we're going to have all the links there, too. And we got you covered on that, too.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for joining us, and God bless you on this endeavor. I hope it triples.
35 after the hour. Happy Friday, everyone. Damian Colano, along with Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and our next guest, Dr. Dan Keebler, professor at Franciscan University over in Steubenville. And today we're here to talk about the Purposeful Lab podcast. And we're going to find out what that is all about. And if time permits, the Purposeful Universe. If I can get it out, maybe the doc can help me if I can't. And Dr. Dan, thank you for being with us.
Oh, Damian, thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's just start out with what is the Purposeful Podcast or Lab Podcast, and why should we go and check it out?
Yeah, thanks. The Purposeful Lab podcast is a podcast that it's a Maja-centered podcast that we launched about a month ago, and it's a scientist and a journalist, myself and Catherine Hadro from EWTN, and we focus on the intersection of science, philosophy, and theology. You know, there's if you look at the data, the fastest growing religious affiliation are the nuns, people that are falling away from religion, and they're often agnostic or atheist, who see some incompatibility between science and faith. And what we want to do is try to provide people with sort of the latest scientific evidence and discuss how this complements our faith rather than antagonizes it, and to combat that sort of false narrative that's out there.
Yeah, and quite often people don't associate the two, doctor. In other words, faith and science, they kind of keep them separate, but they do commingle, don't they?
They do, particularly from a Catholic perspective. You know, from a Catholic perspective, we see the unity of knowledge, and the Church has a long history of supporting scientific research and scientific inquiry, because it recognizes that, you know, all truths lead towards the one truth. And so that's why over the millennia, the Church has been the leading benefactor, of scientific research, and continues to, make efforts to try to understand the latest scientific research, to understand what that means, shed light on what it means to be human, what it means to live in this universe, and so forth, and how all that points back and to God, and to and augments our understanding of our purpose and why we're here.
Okay, so I'm gonna hit you with COVID. I've never been a fan of it, and I'm not gonna give it to you as far as that is concerned.
I don't think I'll get a phone here from y'all.
Dr. Keebler, we hear it's coming back again. It's never gonna go away. But how does the science? Okay, here's where I was having trouble. When the churches closed and we couldn't receive the Eucharist, where was the science in our faith at that time, and what was going on in this, our so-called universe?
Yeah, you know, one of the things about science that we talk about is that science is a human enterprise, and so you have all the prejudice biases of humans that can insert themselves into the science. And so it's important to separate the actual scientific data from sort of people's agendas and philosophies that are behind it. And we saw that with COVID. We see that with a lot of atheists who take some scientific data and have some agenda they want to put behind it. You know, trying to separate that out is very, very difficult in our society, where people often just talk past each other. But COVID was a great example of that. People on both sides of the debate tended to be talking past each other. And as a result, the actual scientific data got lost or marginalized by a lot of people because they had political or other reasons for that.
From your perspective, A, is Dr. Fauci the science, and B, what did we learn from it, from COVID?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, every public official, even Dr. Fauci included, has certain biases and certain things that they're trying to do. And so his interpretation of the science, you know, is going to vary from somebody else's. And so you have the scientific data. Then there's the non-scientific question, what should we do with that data? And shut the churches down was not the answer. You know, that was not a scientific decision. That was a public policy decision, right? The science didn't tell us we needed to do this and shut down the churches and all that stuff. So that's important to recognize that the science can provide some information, but it's a bigger question out there that we have to deal with. And those are the type of things that we focus on in the Purposeful Lab. We'll have philosophers and theologians come on. It's not just scientists, but it's other people that can come and talk about, you know, how does this fit into our lives?
Okay, and how does this fit into our lives? Because we have listeners, and including me right now as I speak to you, do you go way over our head and lose us? How do you keep it basic and simple in layman terms?
Yeah, one of the things we want to do. I'm a scientist. I'm a biologist by trade, but my co-host Catherine Hedrow is a journalist. So she is there to ensure that our guests and myself are talking in ways that your average person can understand. We want to bring the science. We don't want to cheapen the science. We want to bring it down so people can understand it, and then think about what the implications of the scientific data are. What does that mean for our understanding of our place in the universe, and what is the implications does it have for enriching our understanding of what it means to be human, rather than denigrating that, which is what often happens with modern science. We want to say, well, the science shows we're nothing more than just a bunch of random molecules. The science doesn't show anything of that sort, but we want to talk about these arguments and what people have seen. And we deliberately have aimed this podcast towards a general audience, and so we just don't have scientists talking over the heads of people.
I would love to hear a theologian and yourself discuss the current status of our world, our universe right now, because now we're hearing that there's unidentified flying objects again. When I was a kid, man, that was the end thing. All of a sudden, it's making a resurgence. It's almost like one of these television shows that just won't go away. They come back with a repeat. I mean, what is that as far as you're concerned? Is there anything to that? Is that a sign from God? What's happening with that?
Gosh.
Yeah, that's a little bit beyond my expertise as a biologist, but that's something we do talk about. We talk about extraterrestrial life and what is the evidence for that, scientifically, is that possible? And then what does that mean for our faith if there is extraterrestrial life? These are things that, theologians have talked about and speculated about for many years. Even Aquinas talks about this sort of indirectly. So that's a very interesting one. We've had two people, and we're going to have another person on our podcast, a theologian, that's coming on our podcast in our next season, which will be out in October. Our first season is already out, and people can get that wherever they get their podcast. We have a theologian that's going to talk about specifically that topic about extraterrestrial life and what that means, and what are the signs for that, and what does that mean for us spiritually.
Now, can someone subscribe, or how do they get to your podcast? It's very easy as far as typing in Purposeful Universe. Boom, it pops right up. So that's good. But if I want to know when the next podcast is coming up, how often do they that you create one or do one, and how do they follow you?
Yeah, so we if you just search for Purposeful Lab on whatever podcast platform you use, it will come up and you can subscribe, and then you'll be notified of any whenever a new episode comes out. And we're releasing them in six episode segments. And so right now we're in a break, and then the next season will launch in October, and there'll be an episode every week for 6 weeks, and then there'll be a 3 or 4 week break, and we'll have the next season. So, but if people are interested, the first season is all up there now. There's six podcasts from our first season. Platform that you listen to your podcast, you can find it on.
Is the discussion of the podcast similar to what goes on in the classroom?
Yeah, I mean, so I teach at Franciscan University, and I teach not only straight science classes, but I also teach a couple science and faith classes. And so we discuss a lot of the topics that we have on the podcast. We talk about the origin and the order that you find in the universe at the level of the physics, and what does that mean theologically or philosophically? What has neuroscience shown us about how the brain is relational, how the brain changes as we relate to people, and what does that mean about us as humans theologically? So these are the type of things that my students love to talk about. I love to talk about. I think I find them fascinating, and we wanted to make this stuff available for a wider audience.
Well, Dr. Daniel Keebler, I tell you, if I'd have had you as my science professor, I wouldn't have flunked out in high school. I can tell you that. So you make it interesting. I was really skeptical about today's interview because this is not my hot topic, but you actually have me interested, and I'm subscribed and see what I can learn this late in life about the universe and more. So thank you for being with us. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. You know, whenever you see those movies of like these couples talking on the phone for hours and hours and hours, and they're like, no, you hang up. Yeah, that's Nicole Jones and I. So Jones, digital media manager and secretariat for communications in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Nicole. Thanks for being with us.
Morning, Gabby. Can't wait to see who's going to hang up first this morning.
It's not me.
Jeff will hang up first.
It will be me. Oh, it'll be Jeff. Nicole,
but it'll be fourth. It'll be fourth.
Yeah. That's right.
What an exciting time in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. You have an exclusive preview of an upcoming project that you are releasing right here, right now on Wake Up. Please tell us about it. I want to jump right on in.
Yes, no. So I am so excited. Not only am I the digital media manager for the diocese, I'm on the Eucharistic Revival Committee team for our diocese. And so me, Shannon Baldridge, Dina Dowd, Danielle Van Hal, Father Matthew Dunn heads it up, and then Dr. Brian Pedraza, we're all on this committee. And we've been working together for all the different initiatives taking place in our diocese. But one thing that we've kind of been keeping close to our chest is that we have commissioned Blair Pierce of Blair Barlow Art, who is also a local artist. She came from our diocese, grew up in St. Francisville, to paint a depiction of the Supper at Emmaus for us, for our diocese, for our Eucharistic revivals, an image that people in our diocese can pray with, that they can just look at as Visio Divina. And so we're very excited to announce this painting is going to be released next Tuesday, September 12th, at 9 a.m. This painting, which is called Supper at Emmaus, very fitting, a Southern title of supper instead of dinner. So Supper at Emmaus, it depicts the meal of the disciples and Jesus after they walked on the road to Emmaus together. And in this painting specifically, you can see that there are settings, there are figures, there are objects that represent not just the time that Jesus was present in this actual event that happened and took place, but it has different different things that represent South Louisiana and our culture and our local church as well. And so we're so excited about it. I think David's come by my office and he's seen it.
I have.
And so he can attest just how awesome it is.
I have. It's beautiful. What amazing talent we have around us, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. And so we're so excited that we're finally going to be able to show it off. We have done different retreats across the diocese where we've brought it along with us. And so some of the staff members in different parishes have already, pastors have already seen it, and they're just like, waiting to get their hands on it. And they're just like, we can't wait to share this with our congregation, with our parish. So we're so excited.
pretty powerful
Blair's
image.
Yeah, Blair's art is incredibly just amazing, and she is so talented what she does in her paintings as well. Will this be a traveling image, or will it be in one place?
Well, so it'll eventually be hung up at the Catholic Life Center. That's going to be like its main home. But we are hoping that as we continue to have more events for the Eucharistic Revival and beyond, that it might be able to be traveled. We had a great donor that would like to remain anonymous. But we had a great donor who also helped us with getting a traveling box so we can safely transport it back and forth across the diocese. So we're really excited about that potential as well.
Wow.
Amazing. And I would love to get a copy of it as well. I think it would be cool to get copies of it and distribute and maybe have something tied to the Eucharistic Revival. And we've been talking about that for quite some time, Nicole, especially with Father Matthew Dunn and his team about the Eucharistic Revival in the diocese. Can you give us an update of some other things that are going to be released on Tuesday that ties into the Eucharistic Revival?
Absolutely. So yeah, not only are we releasing the painting, but we had the formal term would be an interview, but it's really more of a conversation between Dr. Brian Pedraza and Blair. It was produced through Catholic Life TV in our diocese. So it's an interview. It's almost 40 minutes long of them talking about the need for sacred art, the transcendental beauty, going in depth with the painting, and then also just talking about spiritual ascent. It really covers every single base you could cover whenever you're talking about art in the Catholic sphere. So we're really excited about that. And also, if you don't want to watch the 40-minute, you know, like director's cut interview conversation, we have a 10-minute clip of just the video talking about the painting as well. And so that's all going to be found on the diocesan website. The page isn't up yet, but on Tuesday at 9 a.m., it's going to be diobr.org/SupperAtimaeus. And you'll be able to find it there. And if you don't follow us on social media, now's the Holy Spirit's prompting to tell you follow us on social media at DiocesBR. So it's all going to be there too.
And the diocese is a great account to follow on social media if you're looking to get rid of the clutter and only put good stuff on your social media feed. The Diocese of Baton Rouge posts some really great stuff, and that's all to Nicole and her team as well. Nicole, you know, the Eucharistic Revival is at a parish level. Can you kind of give us an update of where the diocese is and just some different things that the diocese is up to as far as a revival goes? It's just been absolutely exploding in some dioceses. It's been pretty impressive.
Oh yeah, right now the biggest thing that we're working on as a committee is parish point persons, which, you know, is an awesome alliteration. They're appointed parish point people in the parishes. So we always joke about the alliteration. But basically every parish is called to have one person appointed by their pastor to kind of be that champion of the Eucharistic Revival within their parish. And so we, as the committee, have been working with them, trying to get them involved, not just on a local level with different Zoom calls and stuff, but on a national level. And so they have small groups coming out on the national level that will start trickling into the parishes. And so we're really excited about that. And for people to really start taking it on as, oh, it's not just the diocese doing this. This is our parish. This is me. How am I being called to be revived through the Eucharist? Mm-hmm. So we're very excited.
That's great. Okay, so we're coming to the end of our segment where I want to circle back to this painting by Blair Pieris of Blair Barlow Art. Where can we go to see the painting online and just keep up to date with everything that's happening in the diocese when it comes to the Eucharistic Revival?
Yep, so like I mentioned, on Tuesday, whenever everything is released, there's going to be a page on the website that is dedicated specifically to the painting. You'll be able to find it through the Eucharistic Revival page on the website, diobr.org/revival, but it'll be diobr.org/SupperAtimaeus will be the actual page for the painting. And also, we're in talks with Blair right now. If people want to purchase the painting, she'll be the one that you'll be purchasing the painting through. And yeah, we're also hoping as a diocese that we'll be able to, you know, have a few other opportunities along the way to get it in the hands of people as well. So yeah, we're very excited about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nicole, I always appreciate you joining us, giving us those updates from the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Your job as digital media manager and secretariat of communications in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. I know that you're busy every day, and we appreciate you being with us. Thank you so much for these updates.
Thank y'all so much for having me. God bless.
All right, you too. And take a look at our Facebook page. So once I get my hands on that painting,
oh, link, y'all, it's beautiful.
I will post it on our Facebook page because even though we're not a parish, we want to be the voice for your parish, especially during the Eucharistic revival, and you know, touch on those different dioceses in our areas, in our area as well, our listening area. So I'll make sure to share that painting. Anything from Blair Barlow art is really good. You guys, if you've ever taken a look at her paintings,
they are amazing. Amazing. Such detail. My favorite is St. Therese. I don't know if you've seen that or not. She was actually commissioned by Bishop Robert Barron to do that for him.
Yes.
And it is breathtaking. It's got a rose window behind her, and it is, it's her. It's her. I mean, such detail.
Yeah. So. She's helped us with our Catholic Man Night, too. She
has.
We've raffled off or auctioned off part of her artwork in the past. So she's helped us out a lot as well. All right. Well, this week is over with already, and so is Wake Up. So we'll wrap up with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we bring you our offerings, O Lord, and we humbly pray to be given strength by the humanity of your Son, who from her was pleased to take flesh, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.